Busy TV.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another week of MZ TV. You know, you're not going to believe this, but I can be a difficult person sometimes. For instance, when a server at a restaurant comes up and takes my order and then says, my name's Bill, if you need anything. I'm tempted to ask, well, what's your name if we don't need anything? Yeah, no, I actually have asked that before. I get a bad look every time. Do they not get it? Do they not understand my sense of humor? Perhaps not. This is Martin Zender. If I have not introduced myself, I am sometimes referred to as Martin effing Zender, and I don't know why. I don't know why. But if you hear that, I want to be the one to tell you. So today, I'm going to do something risky. Dabble into politics and religion. Well, why not? The entire book of the unveiling of Jesus Christ is about two things, and two things only, religion and politics. God is going to destroy the earth's religion and the earth's politics and replace it with his religion and his politics. That's right, folks. There's nothing wrong with politics or religion. It's just the wrong politics or the wrong religion. In this case, man-centered religion and man-centered politics. Oh, wait, I had a cool pair of sunglasses I was going to wear. Hang on a second. What do you think of these? Yeah, I don't know why, but I need to wear these today. Let's call this show Political and Religious Leftism. Now, the leaders of any leftist movement, whether it be socialistic or communistic or Christian, that's right, it is my contention that organized religion is politically left at its core. And of course, I'm going to explain that to you. These movements are really occupied or run by, generally speaking, this is hard to say, don't take this the wrong way, but I do want you to take it the right way. They're generally run by empty people who need to fill some sort of inner vacancy in their souls. And they do that by exercising power and authority over other people's lives. Now, I'm not talking about those people who come under a leftist regime, whether it be political or religious. These are the people who are most often fooled as to the motives of the leaders. No, I'm talking about the leaders now. How are they fooled? Well, they think that their leaders, either the leader of a leftist-leaning political organization or a leftist-leaning religious organization, which in my mind is all of them, they really are altruistic and they care for the lives of others, you know, rather than, say, needing to be in control of other people in order to fill some vacancy in their lives. So right now, I just want to talk about the leaders. And it's the same, really, with any leaders of any Christian denomination. And I'll be making this comparison throughout this show. I'll be comparing leftism, which with organized religion, which I would call spiritual leftism. So organized religionists fancy themselves a priesthood, right? An exclusive group that decide where other people will send eternity. Wow, what power is that? And like the political leftists, the leaders of any organized religion are appalled by the very thought and the very real possibility, actually, that you could make it on your own and that, in fact, you would be better off on your own. And that, in fact, the centralized power center is not only dispensable. Giving out a secret here, but it is antagonistic to self-governance, personal growth, individual responsibility, free enterprise, and lots of other wonderful things. All right, yeah, I should talk about terms right now. So let's talk about the terms a little bit. Socialism and organized religion are communism light. No, it's actually true. There's a core principle here. I think you'll get this when I give you the core principle. The core principle. And whenever this core principle exists, you have the seeds of an authoritarian regime. The core principle, that is the common denominator, is centralized power. That is a few people deciding the protocols and the lifestyles of vast numbers of people. Another core principle is the assumption that the ideas and the decisions of the small number of people at the top, that is the leaders of the movement, ought to control the lives of millions of people. In other words, part of the deception is that this is a good idea, that vast numbers of people should be controlled by a very small group of people. All right, more term definition here. Political leftism is an ideology stating that, again, as I've just been saying, I got to get this really out there. I want you to understand this, that the lives of a great number of people can and should be controlled by a select group of leaders or elites. That's what they call themselves, elites, who know better than the common folk or the masses or the bourgeoisie, the lower class, the proletariat, the, in the religious world, the congregation. Yes, they know better than these stupid people what is best for them. Leftism, and certainly organized religion, generally divides society into two groups. One, the elite, and two, everybody else. It's that simple. Leftists believe in big government. See, the last thing a leftist wants, a political leftist, and a religious leftist, actually, is for people to have individual rights and freedoms, or an autonomous life, because this necessarily limits the power of the leftist. Leftist ideology requires that the elites, that is the governing body, hold power over the rest of society, that is, make rules for them. And generally, you can take this to the bank, the elites are never beholden to their own rules. Oh no, this is for thee and not for me. Same with organized religion, by the way, which would explain why the most porn is always consumed by the pastors who preach like bulldogs against porn. Happens every time. The rules are for thee, not for me. And it doesn't matter whether the rules make sense. It's irrelevant, really. It doesn't matter if the rules are ultimately good or bad for the governed, the people who are ruled over. It's completely irrelevant because the sugar high or the drug hit, the thrill for any leftist, either in the political or the religious sphere, is simply that other people do as they say. Now, you and I, we aren't like this, but there are lots of people, well, maybe not a lot of people, but enough people that think this way. They like telling other people what to do. We would call them bossy. It's one thing when you have a bossy friend, but to get a bossy person taking the reins of government, ooh, that's a dangerous proposition, ladies and gentlemen, and it leads to authoritarian regimes. But these kinds of people, they love edicts, they love decrees, they love regulations. Oh yeah, more and more regulations, lots of regulation, reams of regulations. They want to manage every aspect of the lives they govern. You and I can't imagine this. It's like, who wants to do that? They do. They really do want to do it. It makes them feel whole. Again, most of these people are empty, and they need this control to fill some vast void in their lives. I want to ask you, are you starting to see the commonalities between leftism and organized religion? Because organized religion will dictate when you must meet, what you must eat. Some even tell you what you must wear, what things you can and can't do for sure. And they will assign accountability partners to you to make sure that you obey all of their rules. And if you don't, you are denounced as an apostate, and you're in danger of being exiled to the outer darkness. That is, you have to go out and survive on your own, which the leaders, this is a general tactic of leftism. The leaders have made the lower class, that is, the followers, scared to death of going out and trying to survive on their own. And this is the biggest fear that controlling parties, that authoritarian people, the biggest fear they want to sell you. You can't make it on your own. You either don't have the wisdom, you don't have the wherewithal, you don't have the means to make it on your own. But of course people can make it on their own. People can make it on their own. They do it all the time, both spiritually and politically. They've done it for thousands and thousands of years because people have the Spirit of God inside of them. As I told you last week, even atheists have a measure of the Spirit of God inside of them. But they're conditioned to think by the indoctrination of the organization, whether it's religious or political, that they will wither and die on their own. It's the common lie of leftism and organized religion. You cannot make it on your own because they need you, both of them. They need you to depend on them. And they organize the rules so that you have to depend on them. And they hold the power over your head. They inject this fear, I should say, of how awful life will be should you decide to go off on your own, out from under their so-called care. Care, right. I'm going to talk about that here soon. But you need to know this concerning both political leftism, call it socialism, call it communism, and organized religion. This is very important. It is not about care at all. It's not about care. It's about power. It is power disguised as care. It is power disguised as compassion. And hundreds of millions of people fall for that lie. They fall for it in the religious realm, and they fall for it in the political realm. Every communist regime in history begins with the promise of a utopia, a wonderland of happiness where everyone will be filled and content. Well, the leaders, they have your best interest in mind, don't you know? This is what they tell you. And this is how leftists and the leaders of organized religion initially take power, by means of the lie, and it's a lie, that they are the compassionate ones, that only they can care for you correctly. And all the others out there, out in the dangerous land where you can't make it, all the others, they only want you dead. They only want to hurt you. The competition in leftist organizations is always demonized as the worst thing that could possibly happen to you. This is the second half of the lie. And it's just as exaggerated as the lie of the compassion of the leftist leaders. The other half of the lie is, well, let's repeat the first half. The first half of the lie is they are the ultimate caregivers. The second half of the lie is, and everyone else will kill you. With the leaders of organized religion, the threat is eternal torment. If you leave the sphere of their power, you will automatically backslide, and you'll end up burning in hell forever. You don't want to risk that, do you? Guaranteed, you're going to backslide and burn in hell forever if you go out from under this protective roof. But see, this is always the diametric opposite of the truth. It is they who, in the end, will kill you. Maybe not literally, but emotionally, spiritually, financially. Because again, this is so important to realize. It is never about compassion with any leftist, but about power. And as the saying goes, and it's proven true throughout history, whether it's in the political or the religious realm, power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. Sorry, but this is a way of humanity as presently constituted. So the political equivalent of eternal torment in the modern era can really be seen best with the political left's disparagement of almost hate to say his name, the guy who, you know, used to be on the show called The Apprentice. You know, that guy, the orange guy with the big hair. Okay, well, you see, the left loved that guy before he ran for office. But as soon as he declared his candidacy, he became the most despicable human being on earth. He was a racist, a homophobe, a misogynist, even a traitor. And he was also a madman. He was absolutely crazy, and he couldn't be trusted with the nuclear codes. If he were in office, why, we would be a second away from World War III, and we would be on the brink of the worst financial depression the world has ever seen. Of course, as you know, none of that was true. None of it. And none of it happened when the apprentice guy was in charge. In fact, all the opposite things happened. If you want to be objective about it, if you're able to be objective about it. World peace, no wars, in other words, economic prosperity, all kinds of people, no matter what kinds of people, what race they were, what religious persuasion, what sexual persuasion, all kinds of people were free to govern themselves. But you see, people believed the lie because the political left is very good at lying. There was even a name for this. It was called the Trump derangement syndrome. And nobody under the spell of it could really explain exactly why the guy was a racist, why he was a homophobe, why he was misogynistic, or why he was a traitor. Nobody knew. You press them, well, what has he done that's racist? Well, he's just a racist. How do you know? Because the TV told me so. Okay, the TV told you so. Okay. Talk about disparaging the enemy. As for me, your friend, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, Martin Zenner, I've been called a false prophet. I've been called a wolf in sheep's clothing. Anyone following me will surely fall off the deep end. And anyone subscribing to my channel, watch out, that's you, watch out, will sink into a moral abyss. Oh, yes, guaranteed. That will probably lead to you robbing banks and murdering people. And then when you're finished with those enterprises, subscribing to my channel will lead you to raping and dismembering women. And probably also to overeating. Watch out for Martin Zenner. Stay away from that guy. He's the enemy. He's the worst. The political left and the religious left, see, always exaggerate the nefariousness of the danger of its enemies. Why? Because authoritarians depend on emotional reactions, not logic. My friends, logic is the enemy of any leftist enterprise, whether religious or political. This may be the truest thing I will tell you today, besides the watch out for the we care for you lie, or the we care for you is a lie. Okay, this is the other thing. It's the careful incubation by leftist organizations of emotional reactions. They don't want you actually thinking. They want you whining. They want you crying. They want you angry, frightened, or sad. They want you either weeping uncontrollably or ranting or jumping up and down, anything to keep you from thinking logically. Why is logic the enemy of all things left, whether it's political or religious? Because all their ideas suck. None of their ideas or their teachings, when put to the test, ever work. Ever. In fact, their ideology is so error-ridden and so destructive to the human soul that it can be easily refuted and shown to be error by the other side. The so-called enemies. The other side can prove, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the teachings of the leftists are wrong and lead to destructive things. And the leftists, realizing this, must silence all argument. They can't stand to hear the other side. They certainly don't want you to hear the other side, because if you hear the other side, if you go to martinzender.com, you might be influenced by what? By the facts? Forget about letting you decide on your own, listening to both sides and letting you decide. No, the left has to shut down opposition. This is why the political left, especially now more than ever, is into censorship. And why the religious left doesn't want you reading certain books or going to certain websites, such as, say, for example, I don't know, martinzender.com. Yeah. Because I make sense for a living, see, and Christianity makes its living being illogical and hypocritical. So the last thing they want you to see or hear is someone being logical and exposing their hypocrisies. So neither the religious or the political can defend their positions logically. That's just fact. And this is vital to understand. Thus, they confound and confuse you with jargon, with hypocritical sayings, and of course, by continuously nurturing an emotional response to whatever they say. It's the just shut up and believe what we tell you syndrome. It's the don't even listen to the other guys syndrome. Then comes the censorship. Oh yeah, you can bet on it. Burning books, blowing up websites, not literally, but banning people. Yes, it happens. It's happening. So now I'm going to be contrasting this with what I will call political rightism, which has its equivalence in the spiritual sphere with a free and untrammeled walk within the spiritual organization known as the body of Christ. But I got to do one more thing before that. I want to tell you this, that leftism, either political or religious, is ultimately conceited. Why? Because it assumes that a small number of people, I kind of said this earlier, but I want to emphasize, it assumes that a small number of people know what's good for the lives of vast numbers of people, even those who live hundreds or thousands of miles from the seat of power, the capital. But you see, in a free society or in a free religious realm, people are self-governed. In other words, they have their personal walk with Christ, or they know what's best for the lives of themselves and their families. If there are regulations upon them at all, speaking of the political realm now, they originate from a local governing body, which may actually know best what people need and want. But of course, in a free society, the people decide who shall represent them. This we call, and this is known as a representative democracy. All right, so let's talk about political rightism, or what some people call conservatism. I prefer to call it those who champion small government and individual rights. These are basic human freedoms. Or you can call it those who simply want to mind their own business and want the government to do the same. Mind your own business, stay out of my life. In the spiritual realm, it's the desire to keep organized religion with all its rules and regulations far from them. Stay out of my face. It's the desire to be spiritually autonomous, to have their own individual walk with Christ, and to progress spiritually at their own pace or at God's pace for them. So you'll notice that the people on the political right generally like to mind their own business. They're too busy with their families and with their local communities to want to run other people's lives. I mean, I'm not for anarchy. So yes, there must be governments. But the goal of the political right is to keep that government from becoming intrusive. In fact, a little civics lesson here, if you don't mind. The men who founded this country, the country I'm broadcasting from here at the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula, that is the United States, they based the country's primary documents, namely the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, on enumerating what the government cannot do to you. which the government always turns around and they want to tell you what they can and should do for you, but they end up doing it to you. Why the need for a document like that? Why the need for a constitution or a bill of rights? It's because of the known tendency. This is an historic tendency. It's a known tendency of certain human beings, again, common throughout history with various tyrants, to want to control other people. And the skill, the sick skill of these people to convince others of the lie that they truly care for them and that their lives will be easier if they just leave it to them to take care of them. This is called womb-to-tomb government. It's the dream of leftists everywhere that everyone rely on the government. And the small amount of people that run the government. Our founders, the guys who crafted the political system that I live under here in the United States, they recognize this tendency to tyranny. And there are always people who think this way. You and I don't. We can't even imagine it. We're too tired. We're trying to manage our own lives. We don't have the energy to manage other people's lives. But I'm telling you, there are always people in every era that want to run other people's lives. I mean, to a sick degree. They need it because, as I said, they're empty. This is true in the religious sphere as well. So our founders recognized this situation, this inherent situation in a portion of the human race, and determined to protect its citizens from it. So the spiritual equivalent in the body of Christ as far as protecting the citizens of the body of Christ from tyranny is, I'll quote Galatians 5:1 here, "For freedom Christ frees us." You and I, ours is an independent walk, a free walk. We don't need a human governing body to take care of us. We don't need a pastor or a priest because our head is Christ. And in what can be called the farthest thing from authoritarianism and regulations, this Christ has freed us from any laws whatsoever, to the point of declaring us to be justified, that is, righteous, in his sight. Religious people wouldn't know what to do with such freedom. In fact, when they hear about the freedom that we have in Christ, when they hear about justification, they reject it. They're scared to death of it. And they curse us for even mentioning it. And they don't even want to look at the verses in Romans and elsewhere that teach it. They constantly use the phrase having a personal walk with Christ. And even though they constantly use that phrase, the Christians, the organized religionists, the actual reality of it scares them to death to have a personal walk with Christ and Christ only. See, they need the human authority. They need the rules. They need to know that they have to be at church 3 times a week at 11 and 7. They need it. They need the Ten Commandments. They need to know what their little beddy time is. They are fully institutionalized. They've come to rely on the system. And thus, by relying on the system, they don't rely on Christ. It would be scary to them to come out from under the human heads, the human laws, the human regulations. Leftism, you can call it collectivism, authoritarianism, central planning, whatever you want to call it, whether of the political or the religious persuasion. These people bank on what I call the prison mentality. It's also called becoming institutionalized. It's the fact that, and this is true, sad but true, but people too readily are willing to surrender their own sovereignty in order to let themselves be dictated to by others. Why? Why would people do this? Why would people surrender that? Because it's, quote, easier. Yes, it's difficult to be disciplined, to be a self-starter to make it on your own. And the central planners, whether political or religious, they prey upon that. They prey upon the fear of autonomy. They prey upon your perceived idea of how difficult it would be to make it on your own. For sure, it's much easier to take orders than to be free. It's easier to fit into a pre-existing mold than to break new ground. Of course, there's no personal growth in taking orders or in fitting into a pre-existing mold, but it's much easier on the flesh, for sure. Leftism and organized religion has this thing in common. They both appeal to the flesh. They appeal to the flesh's inclination to inertia, to laziness. The Christians say, just give us our doctrines, tell us what to believe. Yeah, that's what the institutionalized religionists say. The institutionalized political people say, just give us our welfare, our crummy subsidized housing, and tell us what we can drive, what we can't drive, what we can eat, what we can't eat, and where to set our thermostat, and we will obey you. In both cases, it's the path of least resistance. It's lazy, and it's ultimately destructive to the human soul. Organized religion, destructive to the human soul, the need and desire to be free. Yes, it's a more difficult walk, but the rewards are vast. You know, I wish that the Christian leftists would just leave the phrase a personal walk with the Lord out of their vocabulary. Why don't they just leave it out? That's what I would like to know. Because they themselves don't believe in it, and they certainly don't trust it. They like the system. They like the systematizing of the deception, especially when they're running it. Of course, the political left doesn't trust you with your independence, neither does organized religion. Everything is about corporate governance, dictated from where? On high. As I told you, our founding documents here in this country, speaking politically here at this time, obviously, dictate what the government can't do to you. The parallel is that is true just as in Scripture, speaking strictly now of Paul's letters, tell us what laws and regulations and the laws and regulations of religious people and law keepers or law attempters cannot do to you, cannot bring upon you. We cannot be brought into bondage. Why, Paul? Because we're free. We're not subject to holy days or rules or regulations advertised as controls upon the flesh that will make us behave ourselves. No, we don't need that. Why? Because our head is Christ, and the Spirit of Christ and of God infuses us, and it produces fruit, and that's what causes us to behave ourselves. I know I said this about 5 minutes ago, but I have to say it again before I close this video. The founders of the United States recognized in a certain element of the population the need to control other people. We call them leftists today. And Paul, our apostle, recognized in a certain element of the population the need to bring free people in Christ under the law of Moses. And not only that, but under even more laws that they themselves invent. In the political sphere, there's one part of this country fighting to keep people as free as possible, the rightists, and limit the reach of government, even while at the same time leftists attempt to grow the government. And there is a true movement of the Spirit that would do the same thing in the spiritual realm. That is, that it would encourage people to exercise their freedom in Christ and to not again at any time become slaves to religious laws, to religious rules, to decrees. Even while the religionists advertise incessantly, let our church become your home. We can be the place where you grow spiritually. No, you will die spiritually if you come under their roof. And the same with surrendering your sovereignty to government. Don't do it. It's no accident that during the scam, you know what I'm talking about, states run by leftists had the most strict requirements and restriction. But states where people elect governors who believe in smaller government, you know, stay out of people's lives, they had fewer restrictions. And the weird thing is, in the end, no difference was found as to the public well-being. Well, no, I misspeak, actually. In fact, the states that had the most stringent requirements turned out worse. It's always going to be this way. They were destroyed financially, emotionally, and even in ways belonging to their physical well-being. This is because in the scam, the control was never about health. Never. It was about and continues to be about control. It's about power. It's about the love of telling you what to do and watching you do it and not even question it. Oh, there's nothing that an authoritarian loves more than to just have you blindly obey their edicts and decrees and not even question them. So if you think, even today, that the scam was about the government caring for the well-being of your bodies, I'm sorry to say this, but you're still in the dark. You are woefully uninformed. Likewise, if you believe that religious institutions care about your spiritual welfare, you're also grievously uninformed. I'm sorry, but I have to say this to you. In both cases, speaking of the leaders of these organizations, it's all about power. It's all about control. It's all about making them feel full because of the emptiness in their own lives. And what do you know? Where people are free spiritually, they experience personal growth. But when they're locked into institutions and hampered by regulations, they stagnate. They become afraid to move. They're boxed in. I know people who have been in the same religious system for years. No growth whatsoever. None. Likewise, those who submit themselves to the supposedly well-intentioned government, they actually believe the lie, if you can believe that. They actually believe the lie that the government cares for their physical well-being. You can't get much more naive than that. These people get sicker and sicker. Weird. The biggest deception is played upon those who believe the lies both of the left and of the organized religion. Again, I can't say this strongly enough. The lie is that they care about you. That's the lie. You are our primary concern. No, you're not. In both cases, always a lie. They care about their control of you. But the lie has been made mainstream. That's the thing. Oh, there's the seduction, ladies and gentlemen. There's the seduction. There's the deception. And the deception has been systematized in both politics and religion. I encourage people, as I'm doing now, as I've done for 30 years, really, to wake up to both the lie of big government and the lie of big religion. I got more to say on this. I can't believe I'm at 40 minutes and I'm still not finished. If you would indulge me, I would like to continue this tomorrow. I have other topics of a wonderful and upbuilding spiritual nature that I will bring to you the rest of the week. Actually, I believe there's much value in what I'm telling you here. I'm tying these two entities together, the institutionalization of religion and politics, because there's so many similarities. And if I want you to be free spiritually, then I want you to be free in every way, as free as you can be. I mean, we're not to fight, you know, we're not to fight the government. But we can teach about it. We can try to inform people about the lies therein. And it's my intention to do that. And I will continue doing it tomorrow. I appreciate your patience. And I appreciate you knowing. And if you don't know it, I'll tell you now. I sincerely believe everything I teach. You can be free. Freedom is here for you. Do not be afraid of it. Do not believe the lie that a small group of people with man-made degrees have your best interest in mind. They don't. They don't. For freedom, Christ frees us.